James said, I'll show you my faith by my works. And he says, faith as the spirit, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. D-E-A-D, dead. And I said to my church family yesterday, I said, you know, all I want is 10 minutes alone with your checkbook or your Facebook page or your Twitter feed, if you're a Twitter person. Let's check on your faith. Is there enough evidence to convict you as a Christian? What are you doing for Jesus Christ? Because remember, friend, you're going to have to give an account. The Bible's plain and clear. Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talents. You've been given something. You've been given some talent by Jesus. He's gone away on a long journey, and he's coming back again to take inventory with what is rightfully his. Also, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says we must all appear like a summons. Get one of those things in the mail. You've been chosen for jury duty. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one will give an account of the things done in the body, whether good or bad. It's not for your salvation, but you're going to stand before God to give an account for what you've done with what he's given you. Is there enough evidence to convict you as a Christian? That's where we're at here today and tomorrow. Here's part one of this message. Ron, it really is so great to see you in the house today. So great for answered prayer to see the Lord heal your body and come in here today. It's just music to my ears and to my sight to see you here today, here in the house today. Okay, faith and works we're looking at here. We've been in James. We're in James chapter 2. We're looking at the heart of the matter here as to why people think there are contradictions in the Bible. And as to why Martin Luther didn't like James, and he stuck the book at the end of his German translation. He hated it so much that he called the letter to James an epistle of straw and put it in the back. So you got to remember, Martin was just delivered from Catholicism, where he thought his salvation was based on his works and on what he did for God. And then he finally got a grasp of the Bible that says, for it's by grace are you saved, through faith, and not of yourselves, not of works. You cannot work for your salvation. You are saved because of the grace of God, because God felt like saving you, and by faith. But again, he didn't like this letter here, Martin Luther, because in this letter we learn that your works do matter to God. You see, Protestant churches have thrown the baby out with the bathwater. That's why I still commend the liturgical churches that understand that what you do matters. Your works matter to God, but they don't save you. Your works don't save you. Your faith is what saves you. Faith in Jesus Christ alone is what saves you, not what you're doing. Now, according to Martin, James contradicted the teaching of the Apostle Paul. That was his rub with this letter, that he thought it went against what Paul taught. Paul taught the famous Christian doctrine of justification by faith alone. Justification, that's when God takes his own gavel, slams that down, looks at you and you and you and you, and says, not guilty. What inspires God to accept you and declare you not guilty and forgive you of your sins? And we understand and read in the Bible that it's your faith that does that, not your works. Now, it appears on the surface that James is saying in this letter that you're not, God doesn't just slam down his gavel by your faith alone, but that it's dependent on your works. All right, so let's turn in our Bibles. It's on the handout if you don't have a Bible. James chapter 2, picking it up in verse
14. James 2:14. Okay, everybody there? James writes, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone claims to have faith but has no works? Can such faith save them?" Now there's the question James throws out there. If you say you are a believer and receiver of Jesus Christ, and you let your faith die with you and don't do anything with the knowledge that's in your head, and with the genuine love and gratitude that's in your heart, if you let that die in you and do nothing, James says, your faith is useless and it's good for nothing. It's good for nothing. It serves no one except yourself. And I'm not even sure if it serves yourself very well either. Again, verse 14, what good is it, my brothers, if someone claims to have faith but has no works? Can such faith, or I should say, can that kind of faith save them? He continues, suppose a brother is without clothes and daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs? What good is it, he writes. And certainly right, what good is it? Having the ability to help, having the ability to do something, and not doing anything to aid brother or sister in need, he's now going to compare that with our faith. Notice the words, in the same way, verse 17. He's comparing that with faith now. Not helping someone that walks through the door that's naked and is starving to death and not doing anything for them. He's going to compare that to faith. Verse 17, in the same way, faith by itself, now the NIV reads this way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. If your faith is not accompanied by action, then your faith is dead. It's good for nothing. Reminds me of Hebrews 11:7, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So yes, indeed, faith without action is dead. Verse 18, but someone will say, you've got faith and I've got works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Now, I believe James is saying here that you cannot separate faith from works. Or better yet, you cannot separate your faith from your works. They go hand in hand. You can't separate them. Someone wanted to boast that they could show their faith without needing to do anything. While James took the opposite approach, he was going to exhibit faith by what he was doing. You know, I bet you I could do the same thing with you guys in here too. If you stole my wife's checkbook or bank statement and went through the entries, you'd swear the woman here is Moses. Let's say tonight after church, God explained the rules to me and said, Paul, I want you to pick out all the believers at Island Community Church for me, but I'll only let you look at their Facebook page to determine if they are Christian or not. Dum, 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 dum. Is there enough evidence to convict you as a Christian? Or are you too intimidated by your friends and are afraid to offend them? Jean, her mom just gave me a letter 15 minutes ago from the LGBTQ Society of Brevard County telling me to shut up or else. Haven't even read the whole letter yet. Shut up or else. Don't let people intimidate you. Is there enough evidence to convict you as a Christian? Faith without action is dead. Who are you? Better yet, whose are you? Who do you belong to, church? That's what I want to know this morning. Jesus said this, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him or her, the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Verse 19 from my Bible translation. He says, you believe God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and bristle. Meaning, big whoop, you believe God is one. Which was a nice statement in its own right. With all the false God worship out there in the street. But that doesn't make you special. Even demons believe that God is one. Big whoop, you believe God is one. You see, something more is required of you this morning. You need to believe more than just God is one. God has blessed your socks off. What are you doing about it? Is there enough evidence out here in the world today to convict you of being a Christian? Faith without works is dead, James is saying. You're not serving anyone if you're not doing anything. God's blessed your socks off. God has saved your soul. His Son died in your place. What are you doing about it today? And you say, well, I believe God is one. Gee, that'll cost you a lot, huh? Let me see your checkbook. Let me see your Twitter feed. Let me see your Facebook page. What kind of calories are you burning in Jesus' name? Perhaps you say, my Facebook page doesn't make any matter, couldn't make any difference. Oh, yeah? There's people in this church here today who use Facebook for good, and they lift up and encourage people from their Facebook page. It's as simple as that. You don't have to go out here and build bridges, jump through hoops. What are you doing? Are you grateful for what Jesus did for you? Are you grateful? There's 7 billion unbelievers in the world today. Are you grateful your name is in the book? Are you lifting a finger for God? That's what James says. Your faith is evident by what you do for him. See, with God, your faith is evident without you saying a word, because he knows all. Your faith, God word, and I'm going to read a quote later, is silent. To show your friends and your family about your faith, it's evident in what you're doing. That's the only way to show people, is by what you're doing. Some people leave Bible verses on their Facebook page because they remember the power of God resides in the Word of God. Some people walk up to cashiers in Publix and tell them God loves them or says to them, God bless. See, it's the simple things like that. You are exhibiting your faith and extending the love of God to someone. It's as simple as that. You see, I'll show you my faith by my works, my actions, because your work matters to God. God can bless your 2 cents when your 2 cents is all you've got. Meaning even your smallest work, he can take. Jesus saw someone giving 2 cents into the offering plate. And he said, do you see this woman over here? She's given in more than all of you people combined. God can take your smallest work of faith and do great and magnificent things with it. Just simple things. We mentioned there the place where Amanda used to work. Remember on Friday, Carol? All we did was say, I said, praise God or something. And then that triggered everything. And she went off saying how she loves God and God's blessed her. That was just a simple little comment. You know, God loves you today. Sometimes that's all it takes. You are the cherry on top. You don't have to jump through hoops. I'll show you my faith by my works. And that's your works. Some of them. Your works matter to God. All right, now building on that theme, that your works matter to God, James is going to introduce Abraham now as his next example, and that's going to be verse 21. Verse 21. Now this is going to sock Martin Luther right in the gut. Because Paul teaches that Abraham, and uses Abraham as an example of justified by faith. It says in Genesis 15, Abraham believed God, and his faith was credited to him for righteousness. Now listen to what James says. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And that by works, faith was made perfect? So again, Abraham is Paul's classic example of being justified, that is declared, accepted, and not guilty, and received by God by faith alone. And both of these guys quote the same verse, Genesis 15, 6. Abraham believed God, his faith was accounted to him as righteousness. But you see, Abraham walked the walk. Abraham walked the walk and got out of the boat, so to speak. If you would please, turn with me. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22. I'll read it. Never fear if you don't have your Bible this morning. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Because James wants to pick out Abraham and say that Abraham was justified by his works. Let's see. Paul said he's justified by his faith. James says he's justified by his works. Let's see which one of these guys is right. Actually, they're both right, but let's figure out how. Now, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. So he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we'll come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went up together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, look, the wood and the fire, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there, and he placed the wood in the altar. And he bound Isaac, his son, and he laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, verse 10. And Abraham stretched out his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he says, do not lay a hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. You see, Paul talks about the faith of Abraham, but James tells us that the true faith grabs the knife. Faith believes. Yeah, I believe you. The works is grabbing the knife. True faith will grab the knife like that. He's got a knife in his hand. He's getting ready to kill his own son. And God calls out and says, no, you don't. Put that knife away. And he said, and now I know. You see, faith is believing. True faith grabs the knife. Or Peter. True faith gets out of the boat. They all thought maybe they could walk on water, but Peter said, I'm going to get out of the boat, and he got out of the boat. True faith, the works of that is getting out of the boat. Maybe anyone can believe, but the works is getting out of the boat. Paul talks about, okay, the faith of Abraham. Let's move on. James adds this in verse 23. He says, the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see then, verse 24, that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. So he's not saying that works can save you. He's saying that a faith that is alive is evident by works, not by talk. Amen, right, Darren? A faith that is alive is evident by your works, not by your talk. It's evident by the knife in Abraham's case. That's all he's saying. He's saying Abraham's faith was exhibited in doing what God said. Following through on his faith and on what he heard. Let's look at James' next example, verse 25. He says, likewise, some water here. All this reading today has got me parched. I'm not sure if this is on the handout or not. Is it? Verse 25. Yes. He says, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? All right, so who, pray tell, is Rahab the harlot? Imagine for 3,000 years having that nickname. Rahab the harlot. Boy, just warts and all, right, Ron?
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Things that she shake me, all the words that break me, I need you. Over the mountains, over the sea, here you come running, my lover, to me. Come running, come running, come running.